Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. And man, thank God for just the blessings of being part of this family together. So grateful that you're here. If you're a guest, my name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here, and it means just so much that you're with us. We're super excited to open God's Word together this morning. We're in Mark chapter 10. If you want to go ahead and turn there in the midst of a sermon series on the paradoxes of the kingdom. We are reminded in Philippians 3 that our citizenship is in heaven, and whereby we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that we live in this world, but man, things are different, upside down and radically different for followers of Jesus Christ and the way we live as kingdom citizens. And so we are going to just continue in that direction. You know, as I think about this message today, my kids, when they were small, and some of you kids may love this this thing I'm going to talk about as well. It's kind of a budget friendly carnival ride for kids. You can look up. We take our kids, and when they would see these, they would just always love riding those, and so always had a good time with them. And sometimes you see those kids, and inevitably there's one. It was always my kid that's going on the down escalator, and then gets about halfway down and decides he wants to go back up. You know, and everybody's coming down, and he's kind of walking through some of that, and you know, their little arms are going, and you're trying to just caution them not to get caught up in the little rail thing along the way. Earlier this year, we're on vacation, and we worshiped at a church down south, and the pastor that was there was talking about a story when he was a child. He said the first time that he got on one of these escalators, he said his mom was with him on the top level, and he was seeing this thing go down, and he said, I just kind of slipped over there and got on it. And when I did, he said that he just began to kind of go down, and as he looked back, he was getting further and further away from his mom, and he began to just be a little anxious about that. And so he started to turn around, and he's trying to get back up the escalator, and he said, I was just too little, and he said, I'm just kind of staying in the same place. I'm able to just keep up, and I'm getting tireder. And he said, people are watching, and they're kind of laughing at him because he's trying to get there, and he begins to get upset in the midst of all those moments. And he said, he was just kind of straining to get there. And he said his mom shouted out from up top, shouted his name, and then said, the way up is down. And he said he kind of figured that out in a minute, and he rode down the escalator and then hopped back on, and it brought him back up to safety for his with his mom. And you know, that line really has stuck with me. The way up is down. And everywhere we look, we see people doing the same thing those kids are. I mean, we're trying to climb. We're trying to work our way to the top, and we've got this next rung, and maybe as parents, we're trying to have our kids and all these right things, and we somehow feel like, you know, that this trying to get ahead kind of mentality, and, you know, it's kind of the way of our world, and some of us just kind of get weary in the midst of that. We've been trying to attain these things, and we're just worn out from it, right? And we're wondering why it's so hard. And this morning, Jesus is going to kind of step into a scene like that in Mark 10. We're going to look at verses 35 to 45, and he's going to speak to these disciples. He's going to speak first to these two, and then to a group, and he's going to say something a little different. He's going to say, you know, you're striving, and you're climbing, and you're working, you're going the wrong direction, because in my kingdom, the way up is down. And so if you'll take your copy of God's Word and stand with me if you are able, we'll read verses 35 to 45, and then quote Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 together. Beginning in verse 35, this is the Word of God. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? They said to him, we are able. And Jesus says to them, the cup that I drink you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Altogether, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for your grace to us this morning. God, what a privilege and blessing it is to gather with your people and to lift our voices and to be encouraged, God, by the truth of your word. And Lord, we pray in these moments, God, that you would take your word and accomplish what you have sent it forth to do. Lord, we pray that you would help, God, in the power of your spirit, that we might, God, be greater servants. Lord, that we might, God, that we might serve, and God, that we might recognize that in your kingdom, Lord, the way up is down. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And Lord, as Clark has prayed already today, Lord, we pray that if there's someone here, God, that's never responded in repentance and faith and just surrendered their life to you, God, that today would be the day of salvation, Lord, that you might give them, just courage to step forward, Lord, that you might open their eyes and their hearts, Lord, to see and to believe, and Lord, that we might just praise you together, Lord, and rejoice in all that you're doing. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, you know, we look at this text, we're going to see kind of a direction that we're going. Here's a target statement. If you're following along in the app, you'll see some of these things and the points that are listed there. But Jesus is going to demonstrate to us, we're going to see that in God's kingdom, true greatness is found by going down in humble sacrificial service, just as Jesus did for us. And so we're going to begin this morning. We're going to look kind of at the core of some things. We're going to look at our desires. We're going to look at the things that we want. And when we do that, I want to start from the very beginning, and we're going to land here at the end. But in no way am I encouraging you to pull your bootstraps up and fix these desires that are out of order on the inside, right? That apart from the Spirit of God working in the people of God, we can't walk in this. We cannot do this in our own strength. But we're going to see in this text, right, that Jesus, he reveals, right, that the kingdom, that kingdom greatness requires a different desire. Kingdom greatness requires a different desire. You know, we've seen and read that James and John, they come to Jesus and they want him to do something for them. They say, teacher, listen, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. Maybe your kids might have done that before where they haven't even told you what they're asking, but just like, okay, I'm about to ask you something. Please, please, please say yes. And then, you know, that kind of moment, they're like, whatever we ask, do this. And so Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And they respond to him in verse 37, grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory. Now, these men, they want position, right? They're desiring to have a certain position. With that position is going to come a nearness to Jesus. There's a proximity that they would experience if Jesus granted them that. These are seats of authority. There's a place in this that they would have power. And so there's a desire for those things. There's a desire for position. There's a desire to be near this proximity. And then there's a desire for power. But what we understand, right, is that this desire that they have is for their glory. This desire for themselves. And Jesus, it's really almost funny, but it's not funny when you really think about it. But Jesus, right before this moment, like as we're reading the verses right before this, for the third time, Jesus tells them of his coming death. If you look back, and I don't have these on the screen, but if you look back in verse 33, we read this, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. And so Jesus tells of his own death. And they say, oh, I kind of heard all that. But by the way, you know, when you get into your kingdom, like I want a position over here. I don't know. Sometimes you talk to people like that and it's all about them. You know, there's a country song about that, you know, but it's like you talk to them and you tell them something and you're kind of, you know, sharing something. And the next thing that you say is nothing to do with what you've been saying. It's all like, oh, and let me tell you about what's going on with me or what's happening here. And so Jesus is telling them of his death and they're talking about the seats that they desire, right? In Matthew's account, I believe it's chapter 20, where we also see, now James and John, these are the sons of Zebedee, right? They're loud, they're thunderous, they're bold, they're in that kind of place. And in that account, we read that their mommy comes along too, right? We read this moment where like they're there and I don't know, I like to think about what this might've looked like and why, you know, Mark didn't record some of that and Matthew did. I kind of wonder about those things, but I'm thinking like they've been talking about this, like they're desirous of these seats. And, you know, every parent, like we want the best for our kids, you know, and I like to say every old crow thinks theirs is white as snow, right? Where our kids are, you know, we look at them, we're like, you know, James, they would be really good in you know, second and third. They'd be like, they could really help the kingdom. So they're wanting these good things. And so we record this moment where she's like, hey, you know, when you enter your kingdom, can my boys, can they be on the, you know, so there's this kind of vying for these seats there. And just a funny thing to me that happened. And so they're learning something, right? The sons of thunder, right? They're learning that the loudest voice in the kingdom is not in the things that they might think, it's in the one who serves. And you know, I think about this, and in reality, I mean, we look at them and we kind of laugh, but we all could have some learning to do in this area. You know, and I think about when we walk into a room, what are we thinking when we walk in to the room, right? Are we thinking, who notices me? Or are we thinking, who needs me? Even when we walk in a room like this, you know, we come and, man, what a blessing we have in the way this praise team leads us in worship. What a blessing we have in the moments we're in. But what if we come in and said, you know, who is it in here that needs me? Who's not in here today that normally is in here that needs me? You know, I was in our early service this morning and there's, you know, people are pretty well creatures of habit, and we sit in similar places. And, you know, I was thinking about the people that were in the room that may need us, that we just need to take time to get to know and encourage and look for and pray for. But then I was looking, and Vernon Jean Davis, who usually sit just right in the front row, you know, they were missing this morning, and she's walking through health times. It's like, who's missing that might need encouragement, a card, a visit, a meal? Paul Shuler was usually in the seat behind them. He's going through a difficult season health-wise and thinking, who's here that needs me? Who's here that I can serve? Who's here that could benefit from something that I could do to serve them? And you know, we need to teach our kids that as followers of Christ, there's a different desire that we have. And we live differently as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Because what the world says is greatness is the biggest trophy and the greatest performance. But what if kingdom greatness isn't about those things, but a heart that serves? What does it look like for you kids that play sports and maybe are involved in baseball or soccer or those things? What does it look like if maybe the greatest thing that you could do in the kingdom is not score the most goals, but to be the one that stays after and helps the coach pick up the things and the one that encourages the kid that misses the game-winning goal and the one that somehow lives differently and it costs them something? See, that's the difference, this quiet service, this way that we would live. And what would it look like if those are some of the things that we as parents and grandparents that we recognized and we encouraged? That's the kind of greatness, right, that Jesus is teaching. And in verse 38, he says to them, you don't know what you're asking for. He says, are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized? And they respond with some zeal. They're like, we are able. And Jesus says to them, the cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized. Right? They had no idea what they were saying. Jesus was talking about suffering, right? And they're talking about seats. They're talking about places of honor. They're talking about status. But we know, right, James was executed. We know John was exiled. We see these things. And their mom, she's going to be one of the ladies at the foot of the cross that looks up, and on the right hand of Jesus and on the left hand of Jesus will be a cross. We think about these moments. We think about what it looks like to live in this upside down kingdom. Jesus goes on. He says, to sit on my right or my left, he said, it's not mine to give. It is for those for whom it has been prepared. He says, I'm going to leave that to the Father. He says, I'm not got any favoritism here with you guys. He said, I'm going to leave that. The Father's got all that handled. Verse 41, hearing this, the 10 began to feel indignant with James and John. The other 10, like, you know, you wonder, you read this, it's like, why are they mad? Why are they upset? You know, yesterday we had a deacon's retreat. We had an incredible meal from Grassley, like a burger bar, and it was just incredible. We were eating those things, and this morning I was just talking about that, and I ran into one of our deacon's wives, and she made the comment that, you know, she had delivered all the food to us, and she said, did you not bring me any of all that? And we ate it all, like all of it. I mean, it was, but what was funny is there was like an extra one there, and so I figured out this morning that I wasn't the only one that was probably eyeing that extra one, you know, and we're all kind of wondering. But then I turned around and another one of the deacons had it and they were enjoying it, you know, and I heard somebody else talking about it this morning saying, you know, and they mentioned their name, they got the last one, right? And here's the thing, we weren't upset because they got the last one. We just, if we're honest, we were like, man, I'd have kind of liked to have the last one. That was so good, right? And so there's a little of that. I mean, it's fun. It's kind of a joke. You know, if you're a kid, I don't know how many of you have ever said this, like you've got siblings and you get ready to load up in the car and you just go, shotgun. Anybody ever done that, right? Right? And then all the siblings are like, oh, you know, and they do that little middle school throw the hands up thing, you know, and they get the front seat, you know, and you're not upset because they said shotgun. You're upset because you wanted that place, right? That's the place you were hoping for. And I think maybe what we see, right, is everyone wanted the same thing. Everyone, it reveals something not just about them. This is not just their problem. And listen, apart from Christ, it's every one of our problems. And even as followers of Jesus, there's a battle. The scripture says that there's a war, right? That the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And there's a battle. Listen, and apart from an abiding relationship with Jesus, we can drift into these things. This is what we can do, right? This is not just their problem. This is our problem. But when Jesus changes our desire, and when Jesus does that, listen, our direction changes. The point that I want us to see next is that Jesus reveals kingdom greatness requires different direction. Look at verse 42. There's a different direction, right? He says to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. This word that in the original language is a sense that they're taking their power and they're pushing it down on people, that they're using their power, they're using this authority, they're using these kind of things to dominate, they're using it for their own good. And he says, listen, the Gentiles lord it over them, and they're great men, exercise authority over them. And then Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, oh no. He said, that's not how it is among us. He said, it's not that way among you. Whoever, verse 43, wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. That word servant, it's a word that we get our word deacon from, same word in the original languages, someone who notices needs and meets them. It's a sense of a waiter. It's this kind of word. And he says, listen, whoever wishes to be great among you must be a servant, must be a waiter, must be someone that notices needs and meets them. And then in verse 44, he goes even further down. So Jesus takes him all the way down to this level of a servant. So if you want to be great, be a servant. He says, but if you want to be first, whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. A slave, right? One who belongs entirely to another. One who doesn't have rights of their own, right? A servant chooses to serve, but a slave belongs, right? No rights, fully surrendered. And Jesus, listen, he's calling them to greatness that looks so different from this world. He says, in my kingdom, the way up is down. And he's not just wanting us to somehow throw in an act of kindness every now and then. It wouldn't hurt us to do some of those things, right? But he's saying, listen, there's a call for us that is a completely different way to live. He said, if you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to be first, be a slave. Because the way up is down. And in my kingdom, greatness is not measured like the world. Greatness is not measured in how many people serve you. See, that's how the world measures greatness. The world says, how many people serve me, right? Greatness is not measured in how many people serve you, but in how many people you serve, in the way that you live. And even better is when you serve and no one knows it. When you serve, and you know, when I used to work for Lowe's, I had some people that worked for me, and you know, there's this one guy, and every time I'd see him, like, he'd be killing it. You know, he'd be like working really hard, but honestly, it just seemed like he never got anything done, like in a day, you know. But every time I saw him, he was working, you know, he was working. So I kind of snuck around and hid, and I was kind of like wondering, you know, and we had some refrigerators and stuff, and he worked kind of in a section behind there, and so I kind of got in there where I could see, and I watched for a minute. And this dude, he never did anything unless he heard somebody coming, right? And you could watch it. Like, he'd hear footsteps or a forklift or whatever, and immediately he'd, like, go to work. And then they'd get out of sight, and he'd just sit back, right? And here's the thing. If you only serve when it's noticed by other people, you're still climbing. You're still vying for position. Your motives are not right. It's not pleasing to the Lord. And here's what in the kingdom, see, the kingdom's not about titles. Jesus says, listen, the kingdom is about towels. The kingdom is about serving. He said, this is greatness in the kingdom. And this same piece of cloth, you know, you can go to a restaurant today and somebody might bring this to you and you can put it in your lap. So if you dribble, you know, you don't get stuff on your clothes. And, you know, if you go to the Mexican restaurant, you know, I like that habanero salsa. And, like, I just wear my sunglasses. And then, like, if you dribble, it just catches them. It's like an extra, it's a pro tip for you all. So you can do that, right? But you can take this same towel, right? And it can be something that's used to keep you from getting dirty. And see, in the world's kingdom, that's what we want. We don't want to get dirty. We don't want to get messy. We want people to serve us. We want that kind of environment. But listen, when you put this towel in a different way and you leave, and it's not just about gathering in this place for worship, but we are sent on mission for the glory of his name. When you wear a towel like this, you say, you know what this towel's for? It's to get dirty. And I've got this thing because in the kingdom, man, I want to use my life and serve in such a way that it gets into the mess of others and it helps to see the word of God and work in the lives of people and to love them and to serve them. It's a symbol, really, of greatness in the kingdom. And for husbands, for dads, those that are called to be the head of our homes and to lead well. And when Jesus says the greatest among you will be your servant. Ephesians 5, he says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So what does it look like for men to take this place of authority where we carry responsibility and great love for our family that is fleshed out in pouring our lives out for the good of those that we have been called to lead? What does it look like when we embrace this upside down kingdom where if you want to be great, become a servant. If you want to be first, become a slave. Because the way up is down. And parents, man, what does it look like for us to model that for our kids? Because I promise you, more is caught than taught in your home. What does it look like for our kids to say, this is what greatness looks like? What does greatness look like? It's not me being served, but it's me looking every day for people that I can serve and people that or around us. Maybe that could be our prayer. Lord, put somebody in front of me each day that could benefit me none, that might not even know I serve them, but Lord, help me see them and help me serve them like you. And all this sounds good. If we're honest, there's a part of our flesh that pushes back against this. This kind of life does not come naturally. I shared that at the beginning. We don't drift toward this, right? We drift toward being served. We drift in those ways. That's the nature, right, that we walk in. So where does it come from? Listen, apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God living in and through you, listen, apart from Christ on the inside, you will never do this. And so point number three, Jesus, and we're going to reveal it in this last verse, right? Jesus reveals that kingdom greatness requires a different deliverer. That they were looking for somebody to set up this earthly kingdom. They're looking for them to overthrow Rome. They're looking for all those things. But Jesus goes to the cross. And what he does, he doesn't just teach us that the way down is up. He walks it, right? And he walks it all the way to death. Philippians 2 would remind us that he humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Mark 10:45, one of the greatest verses in the Gospel of Mark. He says, for even the Son of Man, even the Son of Man, the one that deserves all glory and honor, listen, the one who eternally, creator of all things, the one who is worshiped by angels in the throne room of heaven, this sense of angels gathering and holy, 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 the one who is worthy of all honor and of all praise, the one who is God, right? The one that scripture says all things were created by him and for him. Him. He came. He chose to come. He stepped out from it. Scripture says he did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped. But listen, the scripture says in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father. He came to serve. And the scripture says, not only did he come to serve, but he came to serve and to give his life. His life was given. He willingly laid down his life. His life was not taken. He willingly gave his life. It says that he willingly gave his life as a ransom for many. This word ransom, it's a sense of this thought, right, or this reality of someone who would pay the price for our freedom, right? We were bound in sin. We were separated from God. There was no way that we could do anything to free ourselves. And Jesus pays the price, right? Jesus, he redeems and he pays the price for that. Scripture says that he gave himself as a ransom for us. That word for in the original language is there's different words for that. One would be a word that would mean in on behalf of. So like for our benefit. He gave himself as a ransom for many, for our benefit, in that kind of sense. But that's not the word that is used here. The word that is used here means in the place of. And so what we see is this is a substitutionary death. This is a death in place of. He did not die simply for our benefit. He died in our place. He took what you deserve on the cross so that he could give us what he deserves, so that we could receive what he deserves. The one who deserves the highest place, King Jesus, took the lowest place for us. The king paid so that the slaves could be free. That's the gospel, right? Every week we come to this time in the service and we remember what Christ has done. I want to invite you, if you're a believer, if you trusted in Christ, repented of your sins, and trusted him for salvation, to take the bread and the cup. And we come to this table remembering. We come to this table remembering that we were bound in sin and could not free ourselves. We come remembering that Jesus stepped in. We come remembering that the only way up was for him to come down. He gave his body, shed his blood. He paid our ransom. As you hold this bread, I want you to just bow your heads and maybe just reflect a moment on the cross and what Christ has done in your place. As you hold this bread, we're going to go to the Father in prayer. Holy God, we thank you. God, in your great love, that you gave your only son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken for us, for your blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of sin. And Lord, we come with great gratitude. Lord, meet us here in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. As you hold the bread, in Luke 22, we read that when he had taken some bread and given thanks, that he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat. As you peel back the juice, as you lift the cup, verse 20, it says, "In the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten." Listen, his blood was poured out so that you could be brought in. He took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Take the cup and remember." Let us drink. You know, as we reflect on the gospel, as we reflect on the cross, this is why everything changes if you are in Christ. If you're a believer this morning, hear this, you don't climb for significance anymore. We don't serve Jesus trying to earn significance or position or status or any of those things. Listen, in Christ, you already have it. You are loved. You are accepted. You belong. You are part of his family. So we just need to rest in that. Listen, we serve him because he served us. We serve him out of an overflow of what he has done in our life and through the power of the Spirit of God in us. And some of us, we can drift back to that. Somehow we feel like we got to earn something or do something. But listen, he's done it. The work is done, and he calls us to take up a towel, to follow in his steps, to serve people that can't serve us. And maybe some of you this morning, you come and you hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus's death in our place on a cross, and you've never turned from your sin and trusted him as Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been around church. Maybe you know the language, but you've never responded in repenance and faith, trusting that what Jesus did on that cross, that it was for you. And my hope is this morning that you would admit that you're a sinner, that you would recognize that you are separated from a holy God, that you would admit it. In the Beatitudes, that maybe the greatest upside down kingdom passage, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Those that recognize us, and we're not bringing anything to the table. We come with our sin, and we come in repentance and faith, and we exchange it for his righteousness. It's the beauty of the cross. It's the beauty of the gospel that we would admit, listen, we're a sinner. We're in need of a Savior. That we'd believe that what Jesus did on that cross, that it was for us in our place, that we do nothing to earn it, that we do nothing that would cause us to deserve it. In fact, it is only his grace. It's only by his grace that we are saved, but we believe and we trust in him. And then that we might confess him as Lord and call upon his name. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, listen, we are coming in submission and surrender. He is in charge, not us. And believe in our heart. This is not simply just knowing things in our head, but we believe and trust him with our life. It says that we will be saved. Listen, that we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Romans 10:13, whoever would call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen, if you're apart from Jesus, you can respond in repentance and faith. You can be born again into the family of God, transferred from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. And we want to invite you to do that. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads. We're going to pray, and the band's going to begin to lead us in a moment. If that's your heart, I pray in these moments that you would respond, that you would, whether it be that you come and kneel in this altar or whether you call on his name, and I pray that you'll respond and surrender. this morning. For those of you that maybe have been striving, maybe you've been desiring position and you've been caught up in the things of this world, you may want to come and just thank him for his grace. Thank him for the finished work of the cross and just lay down those things, your pride, your desires for the things of this world, and that you might pick up a towel and you might leave serving him. Because if you want to be great, if you want to be great in the kingdom, be a servant. If you want to be first, be a slave, because in his kingdom, the way up is down. Lord Jesus, help us this morning. God, change us and send us out on mission for the glory of your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me? And if you need to pray, if we can pray with you, if you have a need, a medical need, a physical need, anything that we can do, we invite you to come. If you need to trust Jesus, come.